Senator Chuck Wieger represents some north suburbs of St. Paul. His district includes Maplewood, North St. Paul, and Oakdale. He also has a house here in Cook County and visits us as frequently as he can. And the senator joins us periodically to compare and contrast some local and metro legislative issues. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jay.
And I've got a sensitive subject that I really do want to talk to you about. And a couple, 3 weeks ago, there was a man walking down the street in Oakdale and shooting indiscriminately at cars, and he killed a young boy. Oakdale is in your district. What was your personal response as a legislator? I mean, this is your community. What did you feel about that? How did you feel?
Tragic. And actually, right after it occurred, I went over to the Oakdale Police Department and talked to some of the officers involved, and then the next morning I was over at Oakdale Elementary School, where Devin Ariel, who was murdered, went to school. He was a fourth grader, but here's a young boy full of hope and great future ahead of him. He's returning home with his mom from daycare after school, and just shot at random by a 34-year-old person who's been charged with several counts.
Mm-hmm. So how do you move from a tragedy like that to affecting legislative response? Can you do that? I mean, is it just another sound in the gun legislation din that's going on? Or how do you, you're coming at it from an angle that probably nobody else in the legislature has come?
Well, many people have said, well, we need to do more in terms of the background checks, and I think that's the focus of the legislative inquiry now. In this case, the shooter, who has been charged and is now going through a mental evaluation, non-tron, he did have a permit to carry. And that was the first thing I asked at the police department, and he actually did have a permit. And so he lawfully had the ability to have that gun. Of course, a lot of investigation is going on right now as to what was involved in that investigation, but for his background. But in terms of legislation, I chair the early ed through 12, E12 budget division, primarily focused on education, and what we've looked at is a number of issues relating to safe schools, mental health interventions, seeking help if you need it, and obviously there's some mental imbalance with the person that murdered Devin Ariel. So we're looking at as many prevention areas as we can overall, and there's many people that agree with that. In terms of the focus on guns, we're not looking at any confiscation issues or outlawing of guns, unless the we want to make sure that a person legally has gone through what's required, and particularly the background checks, what that involves, and we're not looking at outlawing particular types of guns that, right now, but. There's a flaw in the system for background checks when this happens, and so the tragic event of Devin's murder in Oakdale it signals the need that this whole subject needs to be reevaluated, and it is.
Is there a real political will in the legislature to spend the kind of money that would probably need to be spent for increased mental health services, if not also a cost of better and more in-depth background checks?
There's a growing consensus that we need to do more. And as to how much we're going to invest in this area, we have over 13 legislative proposals addressing mental health and early diagnosis, the ability to get help. We know that at least 10% of the population is affected. Everyone knows that if we have people that are not treated, everyone could suffer as a consequence as a society. And so we've had a number of hearings on the issue, and I expect we're going to see a number of proposals pass. Of course, we have our budget news that's just come up, and that's positive, and it's going to give us some additional funds for investing in this area.
Yes, well, that's a good segue. I was just going to ask you about that. That's good news. At least it's not $1.1 billion.
Yes, no, we're on the road to recovery. We're pleased that we have nearly a half a billion additional funds, and that's going to help us in putting together our budget, which is obviously priority one for the legislature, and we'll have a balanced budget by the time we adjourn in May. And, of course, with yesterday's good news from the governor, we will see a revised budget or a supplemental budget from him in the next 2 weeks, and then we'll get real serious in terms of what we're going to put in each area of the budget for schools and healthcare, et cetera. And through getting input from people from throughout the state, then we'll ultimately have a balanced budget and hopefully make a number of improvements on areas that we've just touched on, as including our schools.
Well, speaking of budgets and money, at 11:59 p.m. tonight, it looks like sequestration is actually going to happen. And you were kind enough to send me the White House's impact or guessed what they guessed to be the impact on Minnesota.
Yeah.
And so as far as the legislators like yourself are concerned, is everything just kind of like, on hold? Are we taking a deep breath? And do we have any kind of real idea of what the impact of this could be, mostly over time? I realize it's not going to hit, 11:59 tonight. But what do you see over time? What are the biggest problems that Minnesota might face if this continues to drag on?
Well, the biggest problem is the cloud of uncertainty. We expect there will be attempts even today when the president meets with designated leaders from each party. But if they aren't able to reach an agreement, are they going to kick the can again for a few months? This is unacceptable, and I have a number of colleagues that are frustrated, whether you're at the local level on a township board, city council, school boards. You have to have a balanced budget and reach a compromise. We are very frustrated that they haven't been able to do that. That said, the impact on Minnesota, we have some overall dollar amounts, but which would hit for education, have a big impact for special education, Title I. It's cruel that those people most needing help would be victims of sequestration. My guess is that they're going to resolve this, at least in the short term. But if they don't, we're going to have to prepare for cuts, which would be rolled out a few months from now. But nothing certain. We're frustrated that it's occurring. Shame on the whole institution, on its dysfunction at the federal level. And may they lock down, suspend their salary, and get this figured out, because I think that the public is tired of it.
Well, one more thing before I let you go. Moose.
Yes. I do have a bill in. I'm a co-sponsor on the similar one, which would put a 5-year moratorium on hunting and trapping for moose. And I hope that we'll get a hearing and we can discuss this. And, I know there's perhaps different opinions in the northern country where we enjoy the moose, and many of us in the metro area would say the overwhelming majority of Minnesotans would prefer that we have a timeout on the hunting and trapping of moose until we get a better handle on the population, and wolves as well.
Well, the DNR, of course, has put a halt to it, but a moratorium would put basically say, even if things start to look better, you still can't do it until we know for sure. So it makes it a little more permanent. Is that what you feel?
Yes. And I mentioned moose, but this would go, wolves as well. And the
So you would support a moratorium on that too, right?
Yes, and I have legislation addressing that. And you know, so many people, they realize, you know, millions of people throughout the planet recognize this as one of the most beautiful areas in the world to go to. It has a big impact on the economy, the natural resources, the critters that are up here. And when you see an animal like for the wolf, for example, that was just recently delisted from federal protection, but you know, immediately then going into a hunt and trapping, one in four wolves were taken during the past season. And so some people have characterized this as a success, and I would say it only is adding to the future uncertainty as to whether wolves are even going to be around long term. So yeah, we do have legislation addressing that, and we hope that particularly legislators up in the northern area would recognize the importance of getting a better handle on the population management for wolves. Now is not the time to continue trapping and hunting until we can get a better estimate on the population.
Okay, we've been speaking with Senator Chuck Wieger. He represents now, is it District 43 now?
Yes.
Okay, was 55. Okay, this is a result of the
redistricting.
Right. And that includes Maplewood, North St. Paul, and Oakdale.
And parts of White Bear Lake, Montemita, Willerney, and Birchwood.
Oh, really? Yep. Yeah, I pulled the map up, but it was so small I couldn't read it.
Yes.
Okay, Senator, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.